Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and it's a delight to be with you. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be with you.
Yes, glad to be participating in Spirit Fire Radio with you each week. It's lovely to be talking about that and talking with you, collaborating. So we're talking about participation all month here on Spirit Fire Radio. Last week, we had a wonderful conversation on the concept of participation kicked off this month. So if you haven't listened to that show and you'd like to listen to the archives, you can always find that at spiritfireradio.com. And today, we're going to talk about the aspects of attention and intention. They sound very familiar, They sound very similar and familiar, but very different and very important. So, Dorothy, I know you bring a quote usually to start us off. I'm wondering if you have one today.
I do, and it's from Robert Kennedy. He said, "There are those who look at things the way they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not."
Beautiful. And there's that word look, right? We talked about that last week quite a bit and the month before, which is, you know, what we're paying attention to. There's that word, what we're looking at, and the way in which we approach that has a big influence in our reality. So to sort of look at things that never were and ask why not is quite optimistic. It's looking for possibilities, right? For potentials, as you've set off in that beautiful word, potentiality.
Well, and last week we talked about the precipitation of possibilities. And so that's what I think of in terms of asking not. Everything, we live in a sea of potentialities. And anything is possible if we will it to be so.
Yes. So important, the idea of glass half full and glass half empty. My partner is a firm believer that it is in our nature to be either glass half full, which is, you know, why not? And glass half empty, which is, you know, why is everything the way it is? And I've sort of resisted that. You know, I'm always the optimist. I guess I'm always the glass half full, so I don't want to believe that anybody's limited. But there is that idea of you know, what we put out there. You know, how are we participating in the conversations in our own minds? And so we have to watch that. We talked about that quite a bit last week, but this idea of where are you on the scale? Is everything contracting and limiting, or are things expanding and getting more interesting?
And so, part of how we expand things is through visualization, which I just want to note that doesn't necessarily mean seeing things. You can visualize, if you put quotes around it, by knowing it, right, or feeling it or hearing it. But we tend to talk in seeing language. And so what precipitates are, what precedes precipitating a particular outcome is visualizing it, is knowing that it's possible or seeing that it's possible.
It has a huge effect. So many studies done on that, and so many modern spiritual teachers talking about this idea of visualizing and positive expectation to sort of live it as if it is, and then allow for life to bring together the cooperative components that will see that precipitate down into form. You know, we're often talking about science, and if you think about form and really spiritualizing matter, we have talked about that this high vibration of spiritual energy that comes down into form, and in the case of a human being, we've talked about that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, so we have precipitated into form. And so this idea that it takes time for something to come together and to sort of coalesce and to precipitate, to all for all the parts to come together and to see that which we have put out there, that which we have visualized. And there's so many spiritual teachers out there these days that are talking about that idea that once you think it in the quantum reality, that potentiality just from your thought has dropped in, and that it exists in a form, in an actual form. We may not see it, but in terms of the universe and in terms of matter, vibrational matter, it exists. And so as long as we just keep that visualization alive, we keep interested in it, and we keep it sort of charged by enthusiasm, by optimism, by just exploring the ways in which that which we would like to see and we're visualizing is starting to come together, it can be a really exciting way to watch your reality unfold. And I know for me personally, I've done that, and by goodness, you know, there you have it. Years later, you know, you sort of have this vision, and you can, it's like going up a very slow increment hill where you get to the top and you look back and you thought you were walking straight and you go, wow, I just walked up a hill, and something comes to fruition and you think, look at that. That's how I dreamt it, or that's how I put it out there for the universe. And over time, it came together. It's wonderful how that works.
Yeah. And the challenge is, how do we do that in a group context, right? That's what the participation, part of what the participation is about, is that it's not just our own individual, this is what I want for me, 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 but what is it that I want for the common good? How does what I would prefer fit into what is best for the whole?
Right. And am I aligned with that? You know, are my actions aligned? You know, are they in the same sort of vibration and frequency with that visualization? So again, it's taking it from the mind and actually taking a look at how you're participating. How are you operating in your everyday life? And are they aligned? Right. There's a wonderful quote called Hocus Pocus Focus. It's Esther Hicks. She was talking about a woman and her kids getting on the airplane that was very crowded, and they all had roller bags and it was packed, and everybody of course is looking around trying to figure out, how are we going to get our bags, you know, stowed away? And she looked at the kids and she said, we're going to play Hocus Pocus Focus. We're all going to visualize walking onto the airplane and our bags being stowed away so beautifully. And the kids knew this game, Hocus Pocus Focus. And sure enough, they all visualized it and they got on the plane and boom, you know, had ample space. Everybody had space, you know. So you'd like to think that they weren't just thinking about their bags, but they were thinking, oh, I'm going to focus on there being enough room for everybody, right? So we have to, as you said, it's not, oh, when I get on that plane, I'm going to have a spot for my bag. But this plane is so big and there's lots of room, and there's no need for everybody to be so sort of apprehensive. We're all going to have plenty of space. So from me to we, right?
That's right. That's right. And it's an absolutely critical shift. Yeah. It's what allows for there to be enough for all of us in this space, is that we don't occupy or use up more of the energy or the resources than are reasonably ours to use.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important, that this idea, though, wouldn't you say, when we move from visualizing, which is really of the mind, to then bringing it down. You know, I find that feeling really good about this idea, you know, seeing waking up in the morning, seeing good relations, you know, wishing harmlessness, you know, wishing peace and ease. And it's one thing for it to be in the mind, but then to really, in a sense, generate a good feeling about it, a sort of, you know, an optimism that moves you out into the world. But then this doing and making sure that if that was your visualization, that you're playing your part in, you know, are all of my actions, you know, do they support that harmlessness and ease and well-being and catching yourself when you're
and
off?
And this is, I think, it's also the difference between being reactive and proactive, that we can just kind of allow the energy to flow around us and turn into whatever it's going to turn into, or we can actually amp up the energy around the image of what is the best for the whole. And as we amp that up, it becomes more likely, because remember, we're in a probabilistic universe. We tend to forget that because we've had so much drilled into us about cause and effect. It's not, there's not 100% relationship between one action and another. There's a probability. There may be a high probability of that relationship, but it's not necessarily always there. I was just, do you have time for a short incident, a short example, Steve?
Yeah, we have about a minute. We can always come back.
Okay. Okay. So this is an example from my mother. You know, I watched her do this. She was in the kitchen and she reached into the oven to pull out a casserole dish, and she did not put on a glove, you know, or use anything to hold it. And she did it so quickly, I couldn't even get a chance to say, wait a minute. And so she took out that casserole dish, and immediately you could see the burn welts develop on her hands. So cause and effect would say, you touch something really hot, you're going to be burned. She put her hand under the cold water, and she just focused, and she even said it out loud, I am really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to hurt you. And I looked at her hands, and burn welts were gone.
Wow. Yeah. So wonderful that she was saying, I didn't mean to hurt you, speaking about her body, you know, her vessel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And she, you know, I don't know that that would always happen, but it was just an interesting example to me that there does not have to be that causal relationship, that we can interrupt it by the way in which we visualize and think about the situation.
Yeah, energy, you know, the power of mind is so powerful. We're actually going to talk about that quite a bit when we talk about intention. Actually, Dorothy, do we ever not talk about the power of the mind and the mind creating our own reality? But yes, it's just these fine-tuning that in each situation. So we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on. And smile. I hope this tip helps you You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Before we continue our discussion on attention, intention, and its relationship to the ways in which we participate in our reality and actually create our own reality, talk a bit about Dorothy and I. Our reality much of the day is our organizations. Dorothy, do you want to tell our listeners a bit about the School for Esoteric Studies?
Yes, absolutely. You can find out more about us, listeners, at esotericstudies.net. We are an educational nonprofit that provides training to persons with a spiritual practice who want to deepen that practice. We do that through meditation, study, and service. We have a number of initiatives. We have a week-long sequence of service meditations that we invite people to join us that are very intentional, very related to our topic this week. And we also have a formal process for collaborating with other like-minded organizations. You can find out more about that at esotericstudies.net. And I just want to give thanks for this opportunity to be with Spirit Fire on this radio program.
Yes, it's wonderful indeed. It's always fun to be creative together, to co-create. I think it's great when two organizations, two minds come together. Something new always comes up. It's lovely. I am representing Spirit Fire, which is also an educational nonprofit, and our mission is to cultivate spirituality and educate people on the importance of consciousness, of bringing awareness into their everyday lives. We do that mainly through meditation, through the practice of living awareness, which is Spirit Fire's own meditation practice. And that's an online practice. It's totally free, 14-step program. We do it in rounds, 14 weeks at a time. Really lovely practice. Actually taught me how to meditate. And Spirit Fire's got its own retreat center in Western Massachusetts. We do online classes as well that are consciousness-based and esoteric in nature. So we have that in common with the School for Esoteric Studies. You can find out more about us at spiritfire.com. And just to say as well, the website for the School for Esoteric Studies, just so full of wonderful information. So listeners, give them both a visit. So Dorothy, before the break, we were talking about attention and consequence, right? You were talking about your mom. So, you know, attention is so important because you were telling a story about your mom reaching in without any mittens and grabbing a hot pot and she burned herself. So, you know, attention, you know, her attention wasn't really on the fact that this was a hot pot, but then she moved her attention immediately to bringing some healing and to her hands, you know, bringing some peace and alleviating that pain. And it actually even alleviated the blisters in a very short time. So the power of the mind, I find, you know, in so many situations, we get to choose where is our attention, but there are consequences related to that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the for my mother, I should just comment that she was a senior student with the School for Esoteric Studies. She was a very strong meditator, and she had a very disciplined attention, a very disciplined ability to bring focus to the process of visualizing an outcome. So it wasn't just kind of casual words that she was saying that brought about that that consequence.
It was really like a harnessing of energy, right? It was a really sort of
absolutely.
Which we do in so many ways all the time, whether we realize it or not. We're always manipulating energy one way or another.
Yeah, and we are catalysts. Yes. And the thing is, are we unintentional catalysts? Do we just let things happen to us? Or do we actually think about our role? And when I talk about us as being catalysts, you know, I'm talking about where we precipitate something that doesn't necessarily affect us, because we need to be, you know, while we were talking earlier about things that we might do, ways that we visualize that might affect us, how we behave affects other people. And so we need to think about how we take responsibility for the quality of our attention in terms of how we function in the world as a whole.
And what do we, in a sense, what do we want to take on? Like, what will be the consequences of participation as well? Like, how much of our attention do we give to something, I find, is an issue. I had just recently came across a friend, an old dear friend who I hadn't seen in a very long time. It was one of those Facebook tells you people that you should catch up with because they have combed your account and found mutual friends. But this was an old high school friend. And I was so excited because I feel so close to this person just from our childhood experience. We were very good friends when we were kids, and went to his Facebook page. And here he had an emoji of an angry face. The first thing I saw was an angry face saying, "I'm angry." And here, he was never angry, actually, when we were young, which was what was so – he was a gentle giant, very tall, big, huge guy, and very gentle, which I always loved about him. And I thought it was interesting that to see this angry face, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. He's angry. And he was angry because he was staying in a hotel, and there was a copy of the Bhagavad Gita in the nightstand as opposed to the King James Bible. And it really upset him. And I sort of started to read this feed, and he said, you know, I was really angered and I was going to go to the front desk and I was going to say, why is that in, you know, has that replaced the King James Bible? And I don't even want to stay here as a result. And I thought, how interesting. I was pondering participation, and I really sat with that for a while. And there were even some responses to that post saying, and, you know, what did the guy look like at the front desk? And then, meaning like, let's assume that he certainly looks different than us. And I thought, oh, it saddened me quite a bit because I was very excited, you know, this expectation of sort of, oh, I might reunite with this old friend. But then I thought, can I even participate? I had to ask myself, can I participate in this conversation, in this situation? And I wondered, as I was thinking about the theme of the radio show, How interesting. I wanted to ask him, well, did you open the book, right? Did you even read any of it? Because it's a very good read. And very interesting that I found that the assumptions were probably that this was somehow related to Muslims, maybe, and that could be my assumption. But I thought, how interesting that the Bhagavad Gita is so old. It's a Hindu text that predates the Bible and really laid the spiritual foundation for so many spiritual texts, and I would even posit to say that the Bible included. But just interesting, this idea of, you know, his attention went straight to the Bhagavad Gita and that it was different and that he had expected the King James Bible. And so that was going to be what he was going to fixate on. And it was negative, and that was it. The trip was messed up. Everybody was messed up. And then it goes on Facebook. It generates more sort of assumptions and criticisms and judgments. And then here I am asking, well, how do I engage this? How do I participate? And I thought, Steve, don't say anything. It seems like this is a be wise situation that all seems very pointed and going in a direction that has got a lot of momentum. And I thought, well, just choose to remember the good things. Choose to remember your fond memories of this person. And maybe in visualizing that, which was what I was doing, you know, maybe you'll see another post or he'll reach out in a different way and you can have a conversation about it at a later date. So I find that, you know, we've got to watch on what we fixate on and realize that there are even options within where we place our attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also important to remember that our attention can have a number of different consequences. One consequence is preventive, you know, just the fact that we notice something can prevent a negative action. I mean, that's what we do when we have monitors for exams. You know, people that are there, or security guards that are there kind of saying, you know, think about what you're going to do. So that's one effect of attention. Another is that we can provide options, you know, when we consciously model positive behavior, that kind of attention to how we are provides options to others. Or we can force a particular outcome. And that's, I think, what you were saying you decided you were not going to do. But we can do it in a positive sense. Like we can, if I put my attention on a newcomer that comes into a social situation, and I introduce them to somebody else to help bridge that awkwardness, that attention is purposeful and it's positive. So we can do a lot with attention.
Yeah. And I even think of it, it's a perfect bridge into talking about intention, right, Dorothy? Because there's so much about what is the energy we bring to it? You know, what is behind our attention and why are we paying attention to something? Like, for instance, with my friend and this post, my intention was really to celebrate our connection. And as I saw that wow, there's not much of a connection there, I'm finding it hard to find a connection, I realized that I wanted to maintain that. My intention was to find connection, and I found myself in a way that there was not going to be any way to direct it. So may I put it off until I could be, as you said, consultative, which would be to open the discussion up, you know, at a time when that might be appropriate. You know, I love that one of providing options where, you know, you're not only observing where your attention is, but you're creating options for another person's attention to look a different way, which is lovely. Yeah. So this idea of intention, Dorothy, let's go to a break now. And then when we come back, we can talk about the difference between attention and intention and why intention is so important, why outcomes change based on our intention. We'll get to that after this break.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough, separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about participation this whole month, and intention is such an important word and such an important aspect of the way in which we participate. So if we have an intention, we're going to wake up in the morning and my intention is to be harmless. We've talked about harmlessness quite a bit. Good luck with that, right, Dorothy? It's not always so easy in this day and age. But if that's my intention, I'm setting a tone. I'm setting a vibration. In a sense, I'm actually, it's related in a way, I find, don't you, to visualization. Because you are setting a tone with an intention. You are creating a quality of attention. And so as your day proceeds, that will tincture your actions, tincture the way in which you participate, how you participate in the precipitation of your reality. Dorothy, a few words on intention?
Well, to me, the important distinction from what we were talking about just before the break is that attention is what we do. Is the focus that we place. Intention is why we do it. So intention is always linked to values, right? Mm. Intention can be positive, it can be destructive, and it's grounded in that concept that we talked about a lot last year, actually, and that is the moral compass. How is it that we know that we're on a track that is going to result in the common good? And so that's what, to me, what intention is all about, is that those value choices.
Yes, choices, for sure. Dorothy, for some reason, it's coming into my mind, and you had mentioned it, we'd mentioned it in a different context, but I'm thinking about that police officer in that Toronto incident where there was a man who had run down. We talked about it in a different aspect of that, who had run people down. And the policeman, the Toronto policeman, spent quite a bit of time talking this man down, who the man basically wanted the policeman to shoot him. He was off mentally for sure. Right. And the policeman's intention, his purpose, was to protect and serve. And he said that, you know, and there was an interesting dialogue about this policeman who everyone saw as a wonderful, not only hero and policeman, but human being, because he really took the time to understand the energy, you know, used his training to assess the ways in which he could bring this situation to resolve with nobody else getting hurt, because that was his intention. And he was so focused on that intention that, of course, it resolved, well, without this gentleman losing his life or without other people losing their lives. And American police talked about this and said, that's absurd. That guy would have been dead in 2 seconds, which I thought was really interesting. I don't want to go off on that tangent. But it was such a wonderful sort of example of intention and why purpose and knowing your purpose, knowing your intention, for instance, as a police officer to say, my intention is to serve and protect. Boy, would that change. If we saw that, if that intention touched everybody across the board, we'd see very different situations.
Well, and what's interesting, I do want to go there just for a moment, is that actually the motto is the same in U.S. police departments. This is not a cultural thing that is specific to Canada. And yet you have that commentary from U.S. police officers is just shoot them. That's it.
Yeah.
Take care of it. So where is that, sir? You know, it's a completely different interpretation.
Intention.
Yes. Of what it means to serve and protect.
Yeah. Very different intention behind that. Right. I find. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, right. And it becomes about values and morals and what is your interpretation, you know, right, of serving and protecting, right? Indeed. Dorothy, I wanted to, because we're talking about intention, I wanted to mention Lynn McTaggart for a minute, because she wrote a whole book and she's done many experiments on intention. In fact, her book, I think, is called The Intention Experiment. And it speaks of attention and the story about your mom, which was so wonderful, and visualization. She does all of this work with focusing one's attention to bring about change, to actually shift reality. You know, they've done work with cluster structures of water. If you've, I don't remember his name, perhaps you know his name, where they have done prayer and they've frozen water molecules. And the water molecules, when there's positivity, look one way, and when it's negativity, they look very
very different. Yeah.
Yeah, not harmonious at all. But she's done a lot of work with peace being the intention. So I just want to mention a few of these just because I find it so interesting. And she did this. She talks that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, but what matters is that you are a good intender, which is like what you were saying about your mom, that your mom was a meditator. She knew how to align. She understood the mind and how to create a strong intention, which means alignment, right? And I think it means using your brain, your physical brain aspect of your mind, your emotional qualities, your mind, and really knowing how to intend, which is about alignment and focus and clarity. So she said that she got these good intenders together, and they did this intention about Sri Lanka. There was a 25-year civil war in Sri Lanka, and they intended that for peace. And over a 6-month period, violence went down by 75%. And not long after, the war was over. Now, of course, they all said, did we do that? And scientists would say, well, who knows? And it really was the first experiment, and it inspired her to do many more. So they did all of these experiments on plants growing, intending for plants to grow faster. And all of these controlled experiments, and they did it with people who they found to be very good intenders, so people who were meditators or understood energy, that were Reiki practitioners, and they looked at the rates in which these plants would grow versus people who weren't intending for the plants to grow at all. And it was in every instance factual that with intention, the plants grew faster. And then they went on to Washington, D.C., and they did two experiments in 2012, which I read about back then. I find so fascinating. They did it in June and September over the course of a summer, and they were looking to make violent crimes go down. And so they took tons of time to analyze all of the data. And in fact, in those months, violent crime went down in both instances 30%. In one instance, I think it was 33%, and in one, 31%. And what was interesting about that is they had intended for violent crime to go down and property crime went up. So it's interesting. It's very specific what we intend. And it was interesting that they didn't change sort of crime, but violent crime went down. And so I find it so interesting that the proportion of crime stayed the same, but violent crime went down in both instances, both months. So it reminds me in a sense of also this Matthew in the New Testament says, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." And if you can sort of sometimes reinterpret this Holy Scripture to say, well, if you look at that from a scientific point of view, where two or three have gathered together in my name with a similar intention, I am there in my midst, in their midst, mm-hmm. meaning when people put their minds together with an intention, which we could think about as prayer, right? Thy will is done, and to put it in those terms. So very interesting mm-hmm. experiments with intention.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing that, Steve. And I just want to add a cautionary note, which is you can do exactly the same thing in the opposite direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can intend harm, and you can focus on that, and you can create harm.
Dorothy, how much do we do that unconsciously, right? I mean, you have to acknowledge that as we criticize, as we're in judgment with someone, we really are intending harm in a way.
That's right. And in fact, we're going to talk about that next week, the fact that return to the theme that our thoughts are powerful, and if we that we have a responsibility to exercise a certain mental discipline in terms of how we think. We forget that. We tend to think that our thoughts are just ours, and we don't recognize them as being linked to the larger energy field. But we certainly have the ability to intend a positive result and to work towards that in terms of the energy that we put out. And I think that those experiments are wonderful examples.
Yeah, and when we talk about purposeful living, we've talked about that. We've really created that as our mission with Spirit Fire Radio, is to talk about purposeful living. I mean, if that isn't, that really helps us, gives us that sense of purpose, right? When we are visualizing, we are participating in positive outcomes, and we are reinforcing our connectivity, trying to stay connected to everyone. And we start to see that happening in our lives. It's energizing, it's a very good feeling. It makes us feel purposeful.
That's right. And it's important to see the link between what we do and our overall intention, our larger intention. I'm just thinking about a situation yesterday where I was talking with somebody who was important to me, who was feeling, a bit vulnerable, and I made a statement, which was an accurate statement, but what it left out was the emotional context, right? And the statement, in fact, was hurtful to the person because it came without the contextual, I understand that this is difficult. I understand that this is complex. I understand that it's hard to grapple with this particular reality. Instead, I just stated the reality, which wasn't actually particularly helpful because the person was already aware of it. It was just kind of underlining how difficult things were at the moment.
And in that instance, what I find is lovely is that you said within this situation was that it's someone that you care about. So, you know, it's just realizing, sort of scoping back to, if my intention, you know, is care, and how can I return to this with a different intention, and not just my intention is to present the facts, but really I care about this person, and I can see,
That's right.
I could participate in a way that might be fuller, you know.
That's right. Exactly. The broader perspective, right? Pulling back and getting the broader picture. It's so important in terms of the way in which we function in an intentional manner. And, you know, we can intend to care, like I intended to care, but it takes more than just the intending. It takes the action that follows that intention.
Well, and just the ability to observe, right? As we keep coming back to that, it really does take the ability to observe, you know, what are the effects, and then bring it back around. We live in a cyclical world, right, Dorothy?
Or
quantum
spiral.
Quantum
bleeps
in and bleeps out, right? Spiral, right? So we're going to come around again, and so we can just reinforce our caring intention. We're going to go to a break, Dorothy. We're going to have some words from Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be back to wrap things up on attention and intention.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Both Dorothy and I are delighted that you're with us each and every week. And if you would like to listen to any archives, or even last year, so many interesting topics last year, right, Dorothy? Really compelling conversation.
Yes.
You could find our archives at spiritfireradio.com, or just search for Spirit Fire Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. So, Dorothy, before the break, we were talking about creating space and sort of expanding and taking a bigger view. And it speaks a bit of detachment, right? Because we can become so attached to our way of being, or to our point of view, that we can participate in the exact same way all the time. It just becomes rote. And the universe is expansive in nature. It is constantly expanding. And if we don't, you know, get in time with it, if we don't find our stride in that expansion, we're really not doing anyone a favor. So I find that this idea of detachment, you know, such an non-attachment, such an important concept in at least the Buddhist practice. But it's very important in keeping everything new and staying in tune with this expansive nature of the universe, of participating in a fresh way.
I come at it from a little bit different perspective. I think of detachment in terms of becoming aware of the filters and biases that we have, you know, that we, when we act from a position of vestedness, that we want a particular outcome to happen, that's when we get into trouble. And in fact, that is part of the Newtonian view of the world, is that people act only out of self-interest, which is actually not true. There's lots of experiments showing with young children, infants, youngsters of other species, that before people are socialized into selfishness, that they actually behave quite altruistically. So to me, that whole idea that you can focus on the common good without necessarily pushing for one particular solution is really important. And that, to me, is what detachment is about.
Could you say that in a different way of focusing on the common good? Say that again.
So let me put it in some different language. I came across this concept some time ago. A friend of mine talked about treating for right action. So instead of asking for a particular outcome, I can ask for the best outcome for the common good.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I am detached from the specificity of the outcome, right? I'm not saying it has to be this way. I'm saying what I'm going to put my intention towards, my attention, and what I'm going to intend is the best possible outcome.
Mm.
And I may or may not know what that is.
Right.
Oftentimes I may think I know, right? But actually the outcome that comes is even better than what I would have imagined.
Right. It's keeping it broad.
That's right.
And that way, even if that's little right. things arise that you may become attached to as a result of what you would become attached to them if you have a certain expectation. But even in that instance, it's so much broader. So you can just let things go knowing that, the best possible solution. I think of that instance of parking. People talk about that. And I think you've even mentioned it on a past show of not intending that I'm going to get the closest parking spot, but I'm going to get the best possible parking spot. And that might be at the other side of the parking lot because something wonderful is intended to happen between that faraway spot and you entering the store or what have you. So yeah, not being attached to the specificities of your.
Right. Or this is a more particular example. I may get, working as a consultant, I could get very attached to winning a particular request for proposal, right? I'm really excited about this. I really want to do this. I think that I'm the best person to do it, so I'm going to put a lot of energy into this. I want this proposal. And then I don't get it. And virtually always what happens is that if I had gotten that, I would not have had the time or energy to do something else, which is even more creative and contributes even more to the world.
Yes.
So trusting that I do my best, but I really want the best possible outcome. And maybe it's somebody else is going to do that contract well, and it's going to free me up to do something else.
Yes. So it's having a focused attention still, but on that best possible outcome and watching that our attention isn't conditional.
That's
where we run into problems. I love that the Buddhists will always, you know, it's this idea of impermanence, that everything is constantly coming in and going out and fading away. So it allows one to sort of stay detached in a way. It allows life to stay effervescent and efflorescent. Those are two of my favorite words. Efflorescent, meaning it's constantly unfolding and flowering, and effervescent, meaning things are constantly bubbling up. Things are constantly arising. So it's sort of being a part of the process, right? And enjoying the process and intending for the greater good and for ease within the process, but not being too attached to the details. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm.
And so another aspect of that is how we view other people. This takes us back to the assumptions that we make, yes, about other people that we were talking about last week, in terms of that everyday, you know, the everyday racism focus, that we need to mindfully detach ourselves from assumptions about how other people are going to behave,
yes,
and be open to who they actually are and allow them space to grow and change instead, yes, of viewing them as static.
Expand and include. I love those words. Expand and include, because we constantly have to allow a situation to be expansive and to include more. And that speaks of participation, right? Is inclusivity. They all have something in common, this idea of interconnectedness and participation. We're sort of locked in because we are all interconnected. So waking up in the morning, thinking a thought, going about your day, it means you are participating. So how are you doing, mm-hmm, that? Wonderful, mm-hmm, Dorothy. Well, we're at the end of our show. You want to say a few words about next week? Just a little introduction, and then we'll wrap things up.
Well, we've alluded to it this week. When we talk about participation and the fact that we actually create our reality, then we have to start taking a hard look at what it is, how it is that we manage our energy in relation to everyone else. And that includes our thoughts. It includes how we speak. It includes how we act. So we're going to start diving into that next week, Steve.
Mm-hmm. The specificities. Beautiful. Well, I look forward to it, Dorothy. As always, it's a pleasure to have these conversations. I always learn a thing or two, and I love hearing a good story. It's been a delight. Listeners, thank you for joining us once again. Spiritfire.com, you can learn more about us, and schoolforesotericstudies.net to learn more.
At esotericstudies.net.
Yes. Say that again, Dorothy. I think I might have confused.
So we are at www.esotericstudies.net.
There we go. You know, I say it every week. I need to have it written down in front of me. Listeners, great, great information on that website. So do yourself a favor and join us again next week. We are looking forward to being with you. Thanks so much, Dorothy.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.